It's a dicey topic. We're going to try to touch upon lotteries, Chinese auctions, some of the things that go on, and figure out what's the halachic viability. And this, of course, touches upon Hilchos Gezeilah, because this is actually discussed towards the end of Hilchos Gezeilah's Siman Shinayin, about whether these types of activities, playing with dice, heavy betting on card games, things of this sort that fall into the category of Masafik Bekuvia, is it considered to be Gezeilah? Is it considered to be Mutter or Aser? Elsewhere, the Shulchan Aruch talks about whether somebody who engages in these activities is Pasul Eidus. That all stems from a Sugya in the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, Chof Dal and Mabes, found in a couple of other places in Shas as well. Everybody agrees that there are problems. The problems are that it's a smachta lokanya, whether it's problems of Eino Osek v'yishuvo shalolam, whether it's problems of it's a dava metua v'meshukatz, it's just not a nice thing to do. Everybody agrees that there are problems. The question is just what is the extent of the problems and what is the application of the halakhic issues. And it's not something that you can take for granted that just because a person is from, they're observant in every single way, that they necessarily are successful at refraining from gambling. Gambling is also an addiction. People sometimes get into it unintentionally. They have a little bit of experimentation with the gambling, just of a recreational nature, and then they get drawn in. And it takes over their lives, and sometimes it can take over the lives of perfectly good people and destroy marriages and wreak all kinds of havoc. So sometimes if a rav is confronted with an individual for a very serious matter, whether it's to be an eid gittin, an eid kiddushin, where the entire halakhic viability of something depends upon kasher eidim, just because the person is Shomer Shabbos and kashrus and so forth, if it really is going to be an issue, as we'll discuss with respect to Psuli Yedus, you have to also verify that an individual has not been ensnared by the vicissitudes of gambling. And this has come up, because I remember once I had an individual who helped out a little bit at the Bezdin, and he was a student, and he told me that he sometimes would go to Atlantic City to gamble. And I was kind of shocked about this, but he said, oh, I went through the sugyas, and the sugyas indicate maybe it's not considered to be daily, do it a certain way, you put the money down, maybe extinction, you saw, akum, whatever. I said, I'm not interested. Sometimes there are halakhic arguments, and sometimes it's what we call excuses or rationalizations. It's not, I'll say this at the beginning and I'll say this at the end, it's not the way for a Ben Torah to comport himself. And therefore I said that you have to give it up. So he gave it up. And despite that, I still, just to be on the safe side, didn't use him as an aid. But he did tell me that he gave it up on the basis of my admonition. So the sugya starts with the Mishnah. Yes.
I sort of mentioned, you know, sometimes not saying it's good. You know, there are shuls that have Las Vegas nights.
We'll get to that.
And, you know,
we're going to see. Is it good? Is it not good? It's a very good question. I'm not saying it's good either. So now let's get to the sugya. The sugya says that Masafik Bekuvia is one of the categories of things which are postulated. This Pashup Shad in the Mishnah is that somebody who's Masafik Bekuvia, a dice player, is Pasuleidus on a Durabanan level, because the Mishnah lists all kinds of things which are Pasuleidus on a Durabanan level. And the Gemara then has a discussion about what is the nature of the problem of somebody who is Mesachek Bekuvia, and there's a machlokis between Rami Bachama and Rav Sheshes. Rami Bachama says, because it's in a smachta, because the question of big machlokis, what does that mean? What does a smachta mean? The Rambam seems to hold Hilchos Mechira Perek Yud Aleph. A smachta means an eschayvus al tenai, that you obligate yourself to do something, but only on condition something happens. So he's going to obligate himself to give over money, only on condition that he loses. Rashi understands that he doesn't have gemilas das. A smacha means that there isn't a proper gemilas das because he thinks that he's only doing it because he expects to win. And in the event that you know ahead of time that he's not going to win, so he never would have engaged in this activity altogether. And Tosfos has a discussion as to whether Rabbeinu Tam asked a question based on a gemara of Metzia and Eizu Nesha. It seems that something is more than a smachta if it's out of your control than if it's within your control. That's Rabbeinu Tam's kasha. So Rabbeinu Tam says, no, smachta means that you only stand to lose. Like you give a down payment for something and you say that if I don't pay the rest, so that you can collect the full amount from me later on. However, if you have mutual promises and considerations between people, it's not a smachta. So that goes along the lines of the Shita of Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says that this is not considered to be like an smachta. So Rashi says it's not considered to be an smachta, mesafik v'kuvya, because it's so completely out of your control. In this case, the person knows that there isn't necessarily an expectation that they're going to win. It's just as likely they're going to lose. So since it's so far out of their control, it's not considered to be an smachta. Rina Tam says there's not an smachta because you have mutual promises. And then you have the Shita Sari, which is a refinement of the Shita of Rashi. It talks about three different types of situations. One where you think that you are in control. If you are in control, then you can say, if you are really completely in control, you say, I'm in control of a situation to plow somebody's field. If I don't plow the field, then I'll pay you what the losses are for plowing the field. So that's okay, because you are completely in control. It's not an esmacht. It's only an esmacht if it's a guzman. If it's something which is partially the other, it's so you expect it, but you don't completely control it because it's in the hands of somebody else. So then even if you have a penalty that's not an exaggeration, it is considered an esmacht. If it's something which is completely out of your hands, so then that's not an esmacht at all. But the problem is you're still missing a kenyan. So Tosfos throws in for good measure, since you're still missing a kenyan, in order for this type of obligation to be binding, you have to put, like, let's say you have the Masachik Bekuvya case, according to Rosh Hashanah, the various players of the dice game would have to put their money on a table. The table would have to belong to both of them so that they could be koneh, like the king and chotzer. They could be koneh the monies ahead of time, so you wouldn't be lacking a kinyan. So that's the basic sugya. It would appear that the halacha is like Rosh Hashanah. It's not considered to be an asmachta, in which case you have to ask the question, so why then would the person be postulated? So he says that seems to be the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, they must say, when is it that there would be a psul? The only psul is it's a problem of what the Gemara discusses as she'ein asukim v'yeshuva shel olam. Rosh Hashanah says the problem is that a person who is a gambler, a person who gambles, is not contributing meaningfully to societal welfare. A person is just not engaged in a productive and constructive societal activity, and therefore that's the reason why he's puzzled. And the Gemara says, what's the distinction? What's the nafkamina between if you hold like Rami Bachama that it's a problem of asmachta, or if you hold like Rosh Hashanah that it's not a problem of asmachta, it's only a problem that ain't on sukkim yeshiva shalom? So this is what those people who think it's okay to gamble, what they rely upon is ika binaya the gama minosta acharisi. The nafkamina would be if a person has another job, they have another profession. A person has another profession and they also just gamble on the side. Some have the formulation, they gamble just to relax a little bit. Like some people to relax, so they watch television, or they listen to music, they go to a movie. And so this is relaxation, they play some poker, they're relaxing, and having a good time. But it's not because they're relying upon the money at all. Then according to Rami Bachama, it would still be a problem. But according to Rav Sheshes, it would not be a problem. Then the Gemara goes on to say, that maybe Rav Sheshes is proving correct, because when Rabbi Yehuda says Emasai, then it means that he's only Balafarish. He's only coming to explain the Tanakama's position, that there's nobody really who would disagree with him. Therefore we should paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Chachamim don't necessarily disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe there's one time that Rabbi Tarfon disagrees, but we don't paskin that way. So it would seem from the Stima Sasugya, it would seem that the halacha is like the halacha is like Rosh Hashanah. Tosus assumes the halacha that we follow Rosh Hashanah. If that's the case, then the only problem, if the only problem is Eino Osek V'Yeshuva Shalolam, so for sure, that would appear to be only a P'sul D'Rabbanim. But the truth is that even if you hold like Rami Bachama, it could be that the P'sul here is only D'Rabbanim. There really are a few different shitos in this regard. It's important to review, because as we'll see, it could be that maybe there's a tzad to say, at least according to the Rambam, that maybe on the Shulchan Aruch, that maybe the Shulchan Aruch really paskins Mi'ikar Adin like Rami Bachama. So what would be, if you hold a held like Rami Bachama, is it Absul Drabbanan Daraisa? So in fact, if you look at the Chidush Aran, I was just talking to Rav Hirsch earlier today about this sugya, so he referred me to a Rabbeinu David quoting the Chidush Aran. Rabbeinu David, quoting the Chidush Aran, says that not all the psulim that are listed in the Mishnah are psulim midrabban. Some of them psulim midrabban, and some of them are psulim daraisa. So according to Rabbeinu David, Mesachik Lekuvya, according to Rami Bahama's understanding anyway, if you hold a smakta lokanya, so it's gezel mamish, then it would be psul daraisa. However, if you look at Tosfos on the daf, so Tosfos says, no, even according to Rami Bachama, it would only be a psul d'rabbanan because people think that it's mutter. They think that somebody voluntarily engages in a dice game with you, so that they give over the money because they lost the game. So they don't understand that this is something that would be usher. And we have a general principle when it comes to psule yedus. Then in psule yedus, we had this when we discussed Los Achmon as well. That Los Achmon below demei mashmeli inchi. That people don't have people think that something is permissible. They don't understand that it's really usher. So then that doesn't make them apostle. That doesn't make them apostle edus, at least on a araisa level. So therefore, at least on a araisa level, one would not be apostle edus, even though it's gezel mamish. And Rashi in Maseches Rosh Hashanah is a discussion in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah about chotei saman aleph. Also talks about Mesachik B'Kuvya being one of the P'sulei Eidus. So Rashi says the problem is that the reason why it's only P'sul D'Rabbanim is because it's only Gezel D'Rabbanim. Since it's only Gezel D'Rabbanim, because Gezel D'Araisa is only a case where you chote from somebody else, where you actually grab, you grab money from somebody else. According to Rashi, it could be that the other person would not willfully hand over the money after the dice game was played. The loser would not hand over the money that they lost after the dice game was played. So maybe that would be Gezel D'Araisa. Maybe there would be Absolatus D'Araisa. Rashi said the normal thing is that the person either puts the money on the table, or the person hands over the money, or the person who lost would hand over the money voluntarily after the game is over, after the dice roll is over. So therefore, Rashi says since it's not in the category of Vayigzola Sachanis Miyana Mitzri, not the classical case of Gezela, so therefore it's only Gezel D'Rabbanan. Okay. That's according to, within Rami Bachama. But according to Rav Sheshes, for sure it's only Midrabbanan, because the only problem is going to be a full-time gambler who is not Osek the Yeshiva Shalolam, who's not contributing to societal welfare. So now if you look at how we paskin la halacha, the Rambam, there seems to be a stira in the Rambam. Yes? We'll see that within the Rambam. The pashtus is that the person actually has another source of income. In other words, because of the fact that he has learned another profession, so that is a source of income for the person, that they don't have to rely upon this. But yes, that's a reasonable deal.
And from Rashi, it's found that Yeshua Mitzakri is in, knowing how trade and how society functions.
So Rashi has that. If you look in Rashi, there are two different ways of understanding Yeshuva Shalolam between Rambam and Rashi. Rashi understands that because the Eino became Yeshuva Shalolam, Eino became Mitziv Dinin Umasu Matan. The person is not proficient in the way that the commercial marketplace operates, and therefore, Rashi is v'in and yerechet. So therefore, they're not yerechet because they don't understand that you have to work and toil for your money, and therefore, the person is not considered to be trustworthy. That's the way Rashi says it, and the Torah also adopts that definition of v'in o'osek b'yishuvu shalolam as well. The Rambam doesn't. We'll see it's a contradiction in the Rambam. So the Rambam in Hilchos Gezela in Perek Vav Alocha Yitzi Yud Aleph seems to accept the position, which seems to be the position of Rami Bachama, that there is an Isser Gezel when it comes to somebody who is Mesachik B'Kuvya. The Rambam says The person engages in these activities. They make a condition. Whoever's going to win the game is going to take a certain amount of money from the other player. This is considered to be gazel on a derabanan level. Even though it was done willingly, since the person, the winner, took the money from the loser without any proper consideration, it was just in the course of the game, so that's considered to be gezel. Now, what's noteworthy in the Rambam, so the Rambam doesn't use the word asmachto. The Rambam discusses the laws of asmachto, type of tonight, and perikidah, pilvas mechira. He doesn't give misakha kikuvia as an example. When he discusses misakha kikuvia, he doesn't explicitly use the lashon of asmachto, especially if you understood that according to Rami Bachama, that it would be gezel de'araisa. Maybe it's psalagius midrabanim, but gezel de'araisa. Can Rashi hold to explain that it's really only gezel midrabanim? So that would, the lashon would still work, according to Rami Bachama, if you, along those lines. However, if you understand, like those who said that according to Rami Bachama, it's gezel midaraisa, so already there's something suspicious in the Rambam. Either if you held that it's gezel midaraisa, because the smachta lakanya, like Rabbeinu, and therefore it's gezel midaraisa, and it's a psul edus midaraisa, like Rabbeinu David, or if you held it's gezel midaraisa, but the person's only psul edus midarabanan because of the fact that it's lomashmi linshi, that it's also, but either way, it wouldn't be described as gezel midivrayim. But the Rambam describes it as gezel midivrayim. And then the Rambam goes further and he talks about being misachek bekuvia with a goy, which is interesting, because the Gemara didn't seem to explicitly address the situation of being misachek bekuvia with a goy. The Rambam says misachek bekuvia im hagoy. This could be applicable, presumably, to somebody who's playing with non-Jews, so they don't do a kasem. Misachek bekuvia im hagoy, ein bo isra gezov or yesh bo isra osek bedvarim betelim. But there would be an issue of being osik b'dvarim b'teilim shein roi la'adam shi'asa kol yama v'ele v'dzibay chachmama chachmo b'yishuvah shel olam. So here, the Rambam introduces yishuvah shel olam as not only a psu'edus per se, but also as a reason for the yisr. That the Rambam says that there is a problem of the person not being osik b'yishuvah shel olam in this particular instance. The Raibed then has a hasaga on the Rambam, and the Rambam and the Raibed says that you shouldn't think that the psul edus is only applicable to somebody who is misachek bekuvia with Yisrael, where there's a shemitz gezela, according to the Rambam, was gezel midivrayim, as opposed to someone who's misachek bekuvia with an akum, where the Rambam indicates that there's only a problem that the individual is involved with Dvarim B'Talim. So you might think that's only an Issa B'Alma, but it's not going to lead to P'sul Edus. So the Rabbi says, no, when it comes to a person who has no other profession, and Eim Lo'umnos Delehi, where we're going, that's where Rosh Hashanah agreed that there would be a P'sul Edus of Misachek B'Kuvia. Even Rosh Hashanah agreed. So then, even if a person is Misachek B'Kuvia with a Goy, Afiluim Goy, P'sul Edus. So it's not clear if the Rambam holds that the P'sul Edus applies only if somebody is misachek with a bekuvia with a Yisrael, or even if someone's misachek bekuvia with a goy, it could very well be that the Ravid understood that the Rambam was limiting epsuledus to those cases where there is a shemetz gizela, and therefore the epsuledus would not be applicable to a goy even in a case of somebody who had no other profession, was just a full-time gambler. And the Rambam adds, no, the psulei edus applies even with respect to a goy. Now the Rambam, when he discusses psulei edus, here, instead of saying that, as one would have expected, that since misachek bekuvia is gezel midivrayim, so one would have expected that whether or not a person has another profession, they're going to be postulate edus. The Rambam here says, no, misachek bekuvia is only postulate edus, so who shall lo tiyeh lo umnos dela spok zeh harehu postul. This is the Rambam in Hilchos Edus, Perek Yud, Halacha Dalet, where the Rambam limits the postulate edus to a case where an individual does not, who engages in gambling, does not engage in any other profession, only then is he postulate edus. So that's a question. So why is it that the Rambam in Hilchos Gezeila seems to say that Misachek Bekuvia is always considered to be Gezeila, which sounds like Rami Bahama, and when it comes in Hilchos Edus, the Rambam says that a person is only possible Edus if they're basically, if they have no other umnis, they have no other profession, and that sounds like Rav Sheshes. A little bit of the clue may be in the reasoning that the Rambam provides as the Psuedus. The Rambam says, Ho'el ve'enu osik v'yishu v'sholom ha'reza v'chezkas sh'ochem min akuv yishu abak yezel. Here as well, he doesn't use the Lashon gezel midivrayim, but he uses the Lashon abak yezel, that it kind of is the dust of gezel. It's in the ballpark, it's on the spectrum of a gezel, and therefore, if a person only engages in this activity, so then they would become possible edus, as opposed to if they have another umnus, in which case they would not be possible edus. And the Rambam says that this psul edus, even for a person who has no other profession, is the psul edus midivrayim, which of course makes sense no matter how you read the Rambam, because the Rambam understood that the Yisra Gezel for Mesachet Bekuvia is at best Gezel Mizivrayim anyway, even in Hilchos Kseva. So there were, so with respect to the Rambam bringing in an Akum into the picture as there being sort of a special category with respect to Akum, so I thought, I don't know if anyone said this explicitly, I thought that maybe the Rambam got that from the Sugya and Chof Heim and Beis, because the Sugya and Sanhedrin Chof Heim and Beis talks about what does an individual have to do if they were postulators for various crimes and misdemeanors. What does it take for them to be kashrut edus? So how do they do full tshuva? So the Gemara there talks about how one does tshuva for different types of activities. So with respect to Mesachik Bekuvia, which are Mesachik and Pispisim, Pispisim means like little twigs, below the Pispisim, Movadam, Elafilu, Klipe, Egozim, other types of things that you would roll, other types of dice, Klipe, Egozim, Klipe, Rimonim, even if it's improvised, you just take nuts. They must say Kasarasan, when is a person's tshuva? Mishiyishperu es Pispisim, when they break the twigs, break the dice, Viaksu ben Chazorah Gemura, Tafidu Bechinam Loavdi, that the person wouldn't do it even if there was not the money. So that's considered to be tshuva. So it sounds like in ideal circumstance, a person wants to stay far away from this offense. They shouldn't even do it without money. They shouldn't even do it for fun if there is no money on the table. Misaras Hashas knows that there's a dip in Nusach. And for the last few words, Tafidu Bechinam Loavdi, and Misaras Hashas is the Nusach, Afidu Menachem Loavdi. That a person who doesn't even engage with when it comes to non-Jewish players, that an individual demonstrates tshuva when it comes to dice playing, that even when it comes to non-Jews, the person is not going to engage in dice playing. So perhaps from that Gemara, one can derive that we see that there's an inyan. There's at least some sort of an inyan, even though it would be considered to be gezel mamash, but there's an inyan that in an ideal situation, one would refrain from dice playing, even with respect to non-Jews, even though in this particular case, we would say it's not considered to be gezel. And the fact that it's not considered to be gezel, when it comes to non-Jews, there are three different reasons that are given for that. We have that right here in Siman Shinayin. Two of them are mentioned by the Sma. One of them is mentioned here by the Vilna Gaon. Two reasons that are mentioned by the Sma is that since it's only Gezel Midrabanan, so therefore Gezel Midrabanan, we don't extend beyond fellow Jews. It's all not considered to be, we don't extend this rabbinic prohibition beyond the Jewish community. Second reason is that from a non-Jewish perspective, sometimes we say things are also because they consider it to be also, and there has to be a certain amount of reciprocity that we're not going to be more makel than they are themselves in connection with our joint activities in which we engage with them. But since when it comes to gambling, at least the non-Jewish society, which is described by the Sma, wasn't considered to be an Issa, but Machashiv Zeh Gezel, they don't consider it to be Gezel, so therefore when we play, if we would play in such games with them, we don't have an obligation to consider it to be Gezel either, since they basically allow it. And the third reason that the Vilna Gaon gives is that he says that he didn't like that second reason. He said, no, the real reason is because when it comes to gambling games, a person willingly and voluntarily engages in a game of gambling and willingly and voluntarily parts with their money. So we say that, at least according to one opinion, Rami Bacham is not considered to be so willing. But nonetheless, at least from their perspective, it's considered to be perfectly voluntary. So even though, according to the Rambam, it's gezel midivrei, because the Rambam says that because of the fact that it is kind of a little bit schok v'hasil, it's not something where there's perfect consideration, so therefore that's not considered to be perfectly willing, but nonetheless from their perspective, since they're giving it over willingly, so that's considered to be mutter, because whenever money is given giving over willingly, then there's no iser, there's no prohibition of gezel akum. And the Vilna Gaon brings the perfect example of that. What's the perfect example? Ribbis, interest. So instead of the ribbis, one of the major reasons ribbis is also, ribbis is really an iser gezela. So he says that even though ribbis is an inyan of gezela, it's mutzah ba'akum. Why is it mutzah ba'akum? Because it's handed over willingly. So that would explain why the only iser with respect to mesachik b'kuvya when it comes to an akum, as the Rambam formulates it, would be dvarim b'teilim. So anyway, how do we explain the contradiction now within the Rambam, that when the Rambam, and by the way, since according to the Rambam seems to say that when it comes to... Yeah, so that's correct. He gives ribbis as an example as to why this would be the reason why it would be mutzah ba'akum.
So yeah,
because whenever you have consent, whenever you have a voluntary transfer of money, so it's not considered to be gezel vis-a-vis an akum.
Isn't
a
part
next
to the Rambam
here that is called the hotter? Yeah, but the Vilna Gaon is but he's explaining why it would be mutzah ba'akum. The Rambam also did say that even though Sarah spoke for herself, but the Rambam said as well that apapisha baratzan balam lakach, that fundamentally is considered to be baratzan balam. So the Vilna Gaon says, yeah, it's baratzan balam, so then yeah, that's not, that, that wouldn't be an iser gezel for an akum.
That might be more calmer for two reasons. Here it's that's koko hotel, which John emphasizes as part of the problem. And B, here it's lokach mama chaver b'chinam. By ribbis, the guy's paying the interest in order to secure the loan.
Yeah,
he's still
but he's still giving it over voluntarily. He's still entering it. One can enter into transactions for all kinds of different reasons. You know, in the case of ribbis, you're paying rent on money, and here he's taking a chance that maybe he'll be able to make a windfall. So that's some type of consideration. It's just not a normal business transaction type of thing. That's all. It's not in the normal framework of commerce, but the Rambam says explicitly, "Masakit kuviyim agoyim b'lister gezel." So he's just explaining why, according to the Rambam, there's no lister gezel. The Rambam
right.
says explicitly, and there's no lister gezel.
Right, it's fair to say that the raya is from
okay.
So when Rambam emphasizes the same halacha,
yeah.
is that there's kofa hasa is one problem, and lokach mama kaver b'chinam is the second problem, and neither of those apply to lokach ribbit.
Yeah, the cases are a little bit different. The common denominator says the grah. The common denominator is that he's willingly handing over the money. So there are three different explanations that are given in the Rambam as to how to resolve the contradiction between the fact that he says it's an ister gezel in Hilchos Gezela and the fact that he says that it's only a psul edus in the event that a person doesn't have another umnus and is not contributing the yeshiva shalolam in Hilchos Edus. Yes. Yeah, he says it's Mefurish Bekor. He says it's Mefurish Bekor, but that would be, but we can extrapolate from there. That's what he says. He says it's Mefurish Bekor. So the first explanation that's given is the Radbads and others have this, which is that the Rambam essentially paskins that Mesakeh B'Kuvya is a smachta, like Rami Bar Chama. And in fact, this is also supported by the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah that has Mesakeh B'Kuvya as a psul edus without qualification, and also a Sugya Mesakeh Shabbos. The Sugya Mesakeh Shabbos talks about how one is not allowed to engage in a practice of having a lottery to apportion a mana gedola keneged a mana ketana. The Gemara says that this is not only prohibited on Shabbos, but this would be prohibited even during the week. It's a separate discussion about if the portions would be equal. Maybe it's only a Shabbos prohibition, but if it's and the portions are not equal, and one of the parties stands to lose, especially if they're not mibnei mishpacha, the other mibnei mishpacha, it's a machlokes. But the Gemara there says that it's a problem of kuvya, and the Rambam paskins like this halacha. So we see that the Rambam essentially accepts the halacha that mesachik the kuvya is a problem, that it is something which is aser. And therefore, that would be according to the opinion of Rami Bar Chama. However, because of the fact that Mamashma is certainly inshi, because of the fact that people don't intuitively think that this type of mutual pursuit or mutual game of chance that is entered into voluntarily by multiple people is really an Isser Gezeila. Therefore, that does not create a Psul Eidus. And a Psul Eidus is only going to be if Eino Osek B'Yishuvah Shel Olam, but that notion of Eino Osek B'Yishuvah Shel Olam is premised upon sort of this, well, we'll get to, I'll stop there. This notion of Eino Osek B'Yishuvah Shel Olam is the grounds for Psul Shel Eidus. That's the, and therefore, if a person had another profession, even though what they're doing is wrong, nonetheless, they're not going to be Psul, they're not going to be Psul Eidus. Okay? And now, if you take a look, and this is similar to what Tosfos wrote within the opinion of Rami Bachama. Tosfos wrote within the opinion of Rami Bachama, if one is Mesaka Bikuvi, a son of Psul Eidus Midarais, it's like Psul Eidus Midrabanik, it's the Mashu Inchi that it's Osir. And according to Rav, and therefore the Rambam basically is just taking it a step beyond that. And the Rambam is saying, well, it's only Gezel Midivraim, it would only be a Psul Derabanan to begin with, so therefore, since it's Lomash Mileva Inshi that it's Aser, so therefore the person's not going to be Psul Eidus altogether unless they're Eino Osek B'Yishuvah Shel Olam. Second explanation is found in both the Sma and the Taz, and that explanation is that the Rambam, and this you'll find in Siman Lamed Daled, Sif Tet Zayin, which is where the Shulchan Aruch discusses the Psul Eidus of Mesachik B'Kuvya, when their explanation is, no, the Rambam really passed like Rav Sheshis. But even according to Rav Sheshis, if there's no problem of Asmachta, nonetheless, there is a certain penumbra of Gezela. There is a certain, at least a rabbinic sense of a Gezela through somebody who is Mesachik B'Kuvya, because of the unsavory nature of the activity of taking, you know, money based only on something which is going to be by chance. So even though it's not a full-fledged asmachta problem, nonetheless, it's going to still be usher, it's still going to be considered to be gezel on a drabbanan level. Now, either that's going to be like a lower form asmachta, or we'll say that it's not a smachta altogether. It's some other type of gezela that the Rambam is concerned that if you take money in this fashion, that maybe you'll engage in a gezela outright, that you'll engage in outright gezela. And that's why the Rambam only passes somebody when they're Eino Osek B'Yishuvah Shel Olam, if a person is not otherwise engaged in gainful employment, because then they're getting real hana, they're getting real benefit from the spoils of this activity, and since getting real benefit from the spoils of this activity, so therefore that kind of puts them more in the realm of what is true gezeila on a drabbanan level, where you're getting hanas guf from an activity that the chachamim do not want you to engage in on a monetary sphere. But if you would be osek b'yishuvah shel olam, if a person would have another source of income in which they do not need to rely upon this money, so then the way that the Sma puts it is that the individual is not getting hanas guf from this. And therefore, the Nakamina, according to this explanation of the Rambam, would be that if a person has another source of income, but they're not making that much money from the income, you mentioned this, E. Thomas, kind of like, what if they have another source of income, but they're just not making money from it? Yeah. So then it would still be a problem, according to the Rambam. And similarly, if a person had plenty of money, that they didn't have to rely upon this source of income, so that would not be a problem, according to the Rambam, even if they didn't have another profession. Okay, so those will be the two nafkaminas. Now, if you understood the Eino Osek B'Yishuvah Shel Olam, the way that Rashi understands it, and the way that the Torah understands it, so then all that really would be dispositive is whether a person has another profession or not. If they have another profession and they engage in it in whatever measure, even if it's not enough to be able to make a living, but they have, and maybe even if they're between jobs, but they have an appreciation for the maso matan of the world by virtue of their having been trained properly in another profession, so according to the Torah, then that would be perfectly fine. And similarly, in the other direction, if a person had a source of income, but they didn't learn another profession, so that would not be fine, according to the Torah, because they still then are not learning in the ways of the world. So that, of course, leads to the obvious kashya asked by the Yad David. Others who say, well, if, at least according to the Torah in Rashi, the problem of Enosek Bishuva Shel Olam is one that a person is not sufficiently learned in the ways of the world, so maybe that, according to the Rambam, I understand that there's like a penumbra of Gezela. But according to the reason of the Torah, that no, it's just a problem that since an individual doesn't understand commerce, therefore they're not going to fully appreciate the need for integrity and honesty when it comes to Haggadah's Eders. So according to that approach, it really seems to be a separate category that has nothing to do with somebody being misafik because of you all the time. If you had anybody who simply never learned another profession, you have somebody who's sitting and learning in Kollel, just never really, you know, learned matzen of the world, maybe they should be puzzle aiders. This is kind of like, you know, one of the famous kashas, or, you know, one of the kashas that people enjoy asking. So the answer is probably along the lines of what the Me'ivi says. You look at the Me'ivi on the Sugya, the Me'ivi says, no, you need a combination, that a person is not learning in other professions, and the fact that they're misachik the kuvia, because the entire atmosphere and culture of a card playing, of a casino playing, of a gambling, that entire culture is a culture where the regilim l'shake b'unram shalehem, you're dealing with unsavory types who are constantly lying and constantly bluffing, and that's the way that the whole activity functions, that it thrives upon deceit and prevarication. So therefore, it's only when somebody is misake b'kubya full time that we're worried that the fact that they're also ain't hosek v'yeshuva sh'olim is going to lead them potentially to lie. But not just because a person happens not to have learned another profession. And also, if you look at the commentary of the Rav Avadya Bar Tanur, you look at the commentary of the Rav on the Mishnayos, on the Mishnah here in Sanhedrin, the way that he defines yeshuva sh'olim. What is yeshuva sh'olim? You have two choices in how you're going to contribute yeshuva sh'olim. Maybe you could do both, Torah Mada. But one is Torah Gminus Chasadim, and the other is this Oschor of Umnus. That either one is a contribution to yeshuva sh'olim. So if a person is completely immersed in learning, and they're in the kollel, and this is what they do full time, so zichud they're involved in contributing to yeshuva sh'olim. So of course, this is your ultimate kasher aid. That's not a kasher at all. We're talking about somebody who hasn't learned another profession. All they're doing is playing poker all day. So that's when you have the problem. Absolutely, gemilas chasadim as well. We told gemilas chasadim. The assumption is that if you're a proper kollel personality, of course you're also a sacred. I think that's true. So the third explanation that's given is the explanation of the Kesef Mishnah. This is important because the Kesef Mishnah, of course, is the Shulchan Aruch. So it gives you a sense because the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rambam. So Kesef Mishnah says something very, very fascinating. He says that the Rambam is completely passing like Rami Bar Chama, and in fact, therefore, if an individual is mistakik b'kuvya with a Yisrael, that person, even if they have another profession, and they're just doing it recreationally and occasionally, they are pasul eidus. And when the Rambam said in Hilchos Eidus that a person is only pasul eidus when they're not engaged, when they're not engaged in another umnus and not contributing at all, yeshuva shalolim, he's talking about either an individual is only misakeh bikuvia with an akum, or an individual is misakeh bikuvia with a Yisrael, but he does it without money. So in those cases, he says, you would still be puzzled if that's all you did all day, okay? And it could be that maybe because if you were osek, if you were misafik, if you were misafik b'kuvya with a Yisrael b'chinam, and you didn't have another profession, then it's kind of like an umnana. How are you getting by? How are you making money in life? It must be that you're making money by virtue of the fact that you are also being misafik b'kuvya the most. We just never saw you do it. But this is when the Rambam says that it's only when you don't have another umnus that you would be pasul le'edus. However, if in the event that somebody is misafik b'kuvya with most, with money, with fellow Yisraelim, so then the person would be a puzzle based on being misafik b'kuvya, even if that individual had another profession. And in fact, when the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, and this is codified in Siman Lamed Daled, that a person is misakik bekuvia is only possible to edus if they have no other umna. So if you look at the baragola over there, the baragola says that yeah, this is the Kesef Mishnah slasher Shulchan Aruch v'shita. So, and you have to understand when the Shulchan Aruch says that it's only when an individual is ein osik v'shiva sholom that he's possible when he's a misakik bekuvia. He's talking about if someone's misakik bekuvia with a goy, or if someone's misakik bekuvia with a yisrael b'chinam. But of course, if an individual is misakik bekuvia with a yisrael b'mos, so then he would be possible the edus even in the event that he had another profession. So that's a very, very shocking interpretation. On the other hand, it's legitimate for the Baragola to make that comment within the Shulchan Aruch, given that that's what he says within the Kesef Mishnah, and the Shulchan Aruch is to tracking the Lashon of the Rambam. So those are the three different approaches within the Rambam. Now, one important thing within the Rambam, of course, is that the Rambam seems to base the psul on the fact that there is some type of a shemitz of gezel that the individual is partaking of. So therefore, what would appear to be clear is that even if you held that whether you hold like Mami Bachama, whether you hold like Roshashis, when there is a psul, and that's, you know, whether it's because the individual is not Osek Yeshuva Shalolam, or even in the event that he is Osek Yeshuva Shalolam, like the guest of Mishnah learns, but if the individual is Misaka Bikubia with other Yisraelim for money, the psul seems to only come about, as Rosh Hashanah is fond of saying, if the gambler wins the money. But if somebody gambles and they always lose the money, so then there wouldn't be a psul edus. Now, according to the Torah and according to Rashi, this isn't necessarily the case. According to the Torah and according to Rashi, if a person is only misakik bekuvia with and has absolutely nothing else that they're doing in life, the reason for the fact that they're psul edus is not because they partake in gezel, but the reason that they're psul edus is because of the fact that they have no appreciation for honest masa umata, and therefore they, since they live among shakronim, they can't be trusted to tell you the truth. So presumably that wouldn't depend upon whether they ever benefited from gambling or whether they lose every single time that they gamble. A person, according to the Torah, who is full time involved with gambling should be possible even if they always end up losing. So this is very, very important in terms of just understanding the halacha lemaisa ramifications. Okay, now as I said, you look at Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, but the Ramah paskins like Tosfos. So again, everybody's in agreement that an individual gambles and has nothing else to do, that individual is going to be postal ages. According to the way the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam, that would even be if they only gambled with Goyim. There is one possible understanding of the Rambam that the Taz has, that maybe that wouldn't be true. Maybe that's a machlokus between the Rambam and the Ravid, because since there's no gezel with respect to Goyim, there's only a problem with Osek Adar and Betalim. So when the Rambam says that a person is possible Avis because there ain't Osek Vishuvo Shel Olam, if they engaged in gezel, that would only apply if they were engaged in Misakik Bikuvia with Yisrael, but not if they were Misakik Bikuvia with an Akum. Okay, but it would seem, at least according to the way in which the Shana himself understood the Rambam, that the psul edus would be applicable even with respect to an akum when an individual is ein osik b'yeshivo shel olam. But there is still the machlokes as to whether the activity of misakik bekuvia is intrinsically usur. So Shulchan Aruch paskins here in Siman Shin Ayin, like the Rambam, that it's intrinsically usur. But if you take a look at the Ramah seems to paskin like Tosfos that it's not intrinsically usur. Consistent also with the way the Ramah describes the Asmacha and Siman Reish Dayan Sifa Yud Gimel, which is the discussion of Asmachta. The Ramah adopts the three-part breakdown of when Asmachta is completely usur, when it's sometimes usur, when it's completely mutter, that was formulated by the Ri and Tosfos. And here as well, take a look at the Ramah and Sif Beis and Siman Shin Ayin, Abalim Yeshlo Umna Socheres, Afilu Mislachim Afilu Misachikim Yisrael, ain't no puzzle, then the person is not considered to be puzzle. So you say, okay, fine, that's just a psuladus. That doesn't tell you whether it's going to be a permitted or prohibited activity. But then the last line of the Ramah seems to come down squarely in favor of saying that we paskin all the way like Rosh Hashanah, and not like the understanding that the Sma and the Taz have even within Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah would hold that there's some sort of minister of the Rabbanan. And he says, Kvar Pasha Naminav, Kisvara HaCharona, Litzkol Bikuvia. So the lashon of kfar pashut aminik gesarf when a list of kivi. It's true that the the Rav Ta'alim of the Ben Ishkai, that the Ben Ishkai reads this line of Ukfar Pashut Aminah Gisro Achrona Lisfok Bekuvia. The Ben Ishkai wanted to read this as not suggesting that it's that it's mutter, but Ukfar Pashut Aminah not to pasul Either somebody who's Tolkit Bekuvia, but it's still Asa. But that is a very difficult reading within the Ramah. Pashup Shah within the Ramah is that the Ramah holds that it's perfectly mutter. But even within the Ramah, it's important to note a few limitations. One limitation is that the Ramah in Simon Reisha Zion Sif Yud Gimel adopts, as I mentioned, that it's only considered to be a non-violation of a smachta when the outcome is considered ein biyado klal, which, okay, it's a chiddush to say. The Gemara has a question whether dice playing falls into that category or not, but okay, we'll say dice playing falls into that category, but if something is more biyado, someone's predicting the outcome of a sports game, it's not so pashut. Number two, the Ramah adopts the requirement that in order for it to be an enforceable obligation, it's only when it's most al shulchan. And then the Ramah goes further and brings the daya that it's not only that not only do the most have to be al shulchan, but it brings the daya that there has to be an actual kinyan with the most, that the shulchan has to belong to all of the players, which would be a further requirement, which is not necessarily always in play whenever somebody engages in a gambling activity. There's furthermore a stira within the Ramah, because the Ramah in Simen Shinchav Beis in Hilchos Shabbos accepts the proposition that there's an issur of dividing, of raffling off mana gedola negin mana ketana, and the reason for that prohibition, as the Mishnah Berurah states, is because it's misafik bekuvia, as the Gemara says. That's considered to be misafik bekuvia. So how do you reconcile the fact that the Ramah there says that it's asur with the fact that the Ramah here seems to say it's mutter? So you could say, like the Ben Ishkai, that really the Ramah here has to be read differently, but that doesn't appear to be pashtus. So one other way to read it would be based on the Shilte HaGibarim. The Shilte HaGibarim, in explaining sort of this stira that we mentioned earlier within the Rambam, so there's a similar stira in the Smag, similar stira in the Torah. So one way that he explains the stira is that he says that in certain cases it's going to be Gezel Mamish, and in certain cases it's not going to be Gezel Mamish. In a case no money was put down, so then it's going to be considered to be Gezel Mamish. When money was not put down, so then it's going to be considered to be Gezel Mamish. In the case in the Hilchos Shabbos, was talking about dividing mana gedola and negin mana ketana. He's talking about there's no money which is put ala shulchan. So in that case, it's going to be gedol, even according to, we can apply the teretz that the Shilte HaGibarim gives within the Smag and the Torah. We can apply the same teretz to reconcile the Ramah, that we can say that, so I saw this extension of the teretz of the Shilte HaGibarim in an article by Rav Avadya Yosef, but not the Rav Avadya Yosef that we all know. Rav Avadya Yosef, who I believe is a grandson of the other Rav Avadya Yosef, who wrote a very nice article on this. I highly recommend in the Sefer Umka Dedina, which is put out by Rabbi Fleischman's Choshen Mishpat Kollel in Yerushalayim. Very nice exploration of all the different shitos. So he said we can apply the same distinction within the Ramah to say that when does the Ramah say that it's a problem of Gezel, that's when the money was not put on the table. When does the Ramah say that it's not a problem of Gezel, that's when the money was put down on the table. Okay. And we can also, he suggests, I'm sorry, yes.
Can I come back to saying the way we were explaining the smav in the Rambam?
Uh-huh.
Are we suggesting that the smav distinguishes between the gezel drabanan when your nenet significantly from the...
That's the way that smav puts it, yeah. Says that there's hanas haguf mizeh.
Right, yeah.
That's also yisra gezel midrabanan. He bases that on the Ramah in Simen Lamedalid Sif Gimel, I think, where the Ramah says that the gezel midrabanan, so there has to be some sort of chimun mamon. So he says there's no chimun mamon involved if the person's not really relying upon the money, they really have another profession, they have plenty of other money. Well, they don't have another profession, they have plenty of other money. So in those cases, the person has plenty of other money, so we can't say that it's really human mammon. It's just like, get them into vain without human mammon. That's what he wants to argue.
Okay, that's the DNA and whether he's kosher to be made sheker.
Yeah.
So yeah. It sounds really that, I'll say it's a gebel darbanan, if you steal, you steal. That's correct.
It would be, according to this, there would be a problem against the Midrona no matter what, but this is only a question with respect to the Psalagis, the Nachinami. Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
And
the Chiddush is that this could even be within Shitas Rav Sheshes. That's the Chiddush. So the Taz also says it. The Taz has a very similar formulation. The Taz says, at the end of it, the Taz has a very long formulation. When he gets to the very end, he says, oh, and I found, what do you know, that the Sma says exactly the same thing. So, you know, they both are recapping to the same.
Is there any support for objectors?
There's a lot of support. If you say that the whole thing is only in this Gezla, Shilta Gibor goes further. And he says that the whole Chiluk between whether a person is Umnasu B'kach or Enum Nasu B'kach is that if the person is Umnasu B'kach, so then they're. And this is all that they do. All that they do is gamble. So then it can be assumed that every now and then they're not going to put money down on the table. It's going to be Nesek Zei L'mamish. As opposed to if they have another illness, they only do this on an occasional basis. So it's perfectly possible that a person will always do it in a way in which they're going to put the money down on the table and do it properly.
So if you always lose, then you're fine.
Right. So if I'm losing the money, so it's not a problem. It's only a problem if I say that the problem is Gezel. Okay? Either I'm taking the money because in a way in which the money wasn't put down properly, as the Shilta Yom Kippurim explains, so then it's only a problem, obviously, if I take the money. If it's like the way the Sma'an Taz explained, that I'm having illicit gains of some sort, and I'm getting hanoah from those illicit gains, so then it's only a problem if I actually win. I said that within the Torah's understanding of Eina and the Rashi's understanding of Eina Osek B'Yeshuva Shalom, so then one can say that it's a problem even if you lose. You're engaged all the time in this activity, and therefore you have no appreciation of Masa Matzah, but you do have an appreciation of lying, because that's all that the people do all the time, is we're always engaged in some type of deception, so then it could be a problem even if you lose all the time.
But even if you want to say Mitzara Smachta Vokanya, like lost on the Rambam, but that you're Bechezka She'achah Mina Chodya. Right? So you say, someone who gambles,
right,
even if you always lose, he's still Bechezka that, you know, he's being mana from money that he won through an Smachta. Right. It should be any worse than the Ram's
Chazaka. Well, let's take a look. So the Rambam said that Harezeh Bechesta She'ochev Min Akuv Yeshua Bar Gezel. Because either way, it would be based on the fact that the person actually gets smart. Like, let's say that the person, we would say he's not becheskas, that he actually makes any money. We know for a fact that he loses every single time. So according to the Rambam, the psul is based on the fact that we assume that sometimes he's getting some money out of it. That's the assumption. In other words, the Rambam couldn't say that in the event that he for sure would not have received a penny from it, that he would still be puzzled. The Rambam doesn't say that. Okay. So whether I see it outright or whether I'm just gleaning that this is the case, it's still based on the fact that the person is sometimes winning, sometimes making some money.
But there's a chef that we should say, if somebody inherited a fortune and they spend their days gambling, so then they should also be kosher laborers. Because they're living off their... That's what the Sma said.
He said that if a person had money on the side and therefore they didn't need to rely upon this money, so then the person would be kosher laborers, according to the Rama. And the person would be kosher.
He's saying that I'll finish the
No, he said two things. Sma said two things. Let's review. Sma and the Taz, they both say this. They say, according to the Rambam, there are two important nachkaminas. One is that the person has an umnos, but they're not making enough money from this umnos that they'd be able to live off of that money, so then they would still be puzzled. Right. And number two, if a person didn't have an umnos, but they had enough money to be able to live off of, so then they would be kashalaydis.
Right.
Says both.
But this is coming, Mitzadiyah,
so
I'm saying there are different ways that you
could
have
Mitzadiyah. You're saying, well, there's Lab Dafka. Right,
but here we're asking, in the Tzad of Mishamach Machal Lekanya, and the Rambam saying you don't have to violate this for Geza or Behejia, or you use a Chazaka, Sha'achal, Minah, Kuvya. Right? The Rosh Hashanah is saying that if we know that you always lose, so then you still have a card like this.
We say that there wouldn't be a chazakah if a person had a lot of money. So there wouldn't be a chazakah that they're benefiting from this activity because they have other money. If they didn't have any other money, and this was all that they were doing, so that would be the chazakah. And you could go even further and say, even if they did have another profession, we know that they're hardly making any money in that profession. They're a poor school teacher or something, that they're hardly getting by. So then you also would have to worry. Maybe there would also be a chazakah that this gambler was benefiting from illicit gains. Yeah. Okay. So let's just let's move on. So according to the Ramah, that's one way in which we can be miyashev the Ramah's the distinction between the Ramah here and the Ramah there. But it seems that even according to the Ramah, there are a lot of different conditions that need to be fulfilled that are not always going to be fulfilled in every single instance of gambling. So number one, if a person doesn't have another profession, they're going to be pasul le'edus, and it's going to be not only that, but it's going to be also according to the Ramah. The way that the Ramah puts it is that the person pasul aminah gesorach one itself up v'kuvya then pasul l'mishen umnus elahu, that this is also something which is an illicit activity if the person is only engaging in gambling. Number two, according to the Ramah, there would have to be money put down on the table, and there might even have to be an actual opinion in the way that is engaged in, and that also requires a very specific protocol to be followed that isn't always followed. And number three, it has to be, like the Ramah says in Siman Reish Zayin, there has to be a complete anal biyado, that the type of a gambling proposition which is taking place has to be one which is completely outside of a person's hands. So let's just speed up a little bit. This may or may not implicate lotteries and raffles. So there's a chuv by the Chavos Yair in Siman Samach Aleph, where the Chavos Yair says that when it comes to raffles, and goralot, so this seems to have a very strong and proud history and halachic tradition. Sometimes we split up karka between shukvim in this fashion. He has old shuva about a raffle that wasn't done properly, that they left out one of the tickets and how they put it in the raffle. And he says, oh, the whole raffle is batel because there's a certain hashkacha el Yona, as we see from the story of Yona and so forth. And Rachon, when it comes to raffles, and you have to do it right, so there's no hint that there's any problem whatsoever in the way in which this is being done. So the Ben Ish Chai explains that the reason why there is no hint that there's a problem with the way in which things are being done, he says, it's because here it's not a question of taking this rabbalim chelik beis yodei siman lamed. It's not a question of taking other people's money, but everybody's like talking about a Chinese auction kind of thing, where everybody's putting down money in order to receive a chepetz. So the chepetz itself is willingly being given by the baal chepetz, who's collecting all of the money. So therefore, there's no stealing going on. The only possible problem of the stealing would be the money that goes to the baal chepetz. So here, the Ben Ish Chai says, but maybe that also is not a problem because the various participants in the raffle are giving willingly from their own money to the Baal HaChepetz based on the hope that they will receive the money, and it's going straight to the Baal HaChepetz, so there's like a complete Kenyan that is going straight to the Baal HaChepetz. But the money that they're giving, they don't expect to get, what their hope is to receive the Chepetz. The money that they're giving is not in the hope that they'll receive the money back together with other money. The money they're giving is in the hope to receive the chepetz back. So therefore, the money is being given over completely willingly. So then, on that basis, number of poskim say that it used to be, I think that Chiduk says this in the Birkei Yosef, there was even a tradition in Italy that they used to raffle off Sifrei Torah this way, that this was like, you know, for such a sacred and holy nature. So it's possible that there is room to be makel with respect to Chinese auctions, but a further room, the main basis really to be makel, is that there's a Mordechai. The Mordechai says I think I have this here, it's the 20th, it's what's called, it's in Mordechai Baba Kama, Perak Shoshanavach Dal Behe, Rem is the Membav, the Mordechai says that he quotes Rabbeinu Nesanel, Miknun, the Asmachta Kanya, the Gabe Hektesh and Staka. That when it comes to Hektesh and Staka, we don't have a problem with Asmachta altogether. So if we don't have a problem with Asmachta altogether, we're not talking about people who are never Osek of Yeshiva Sha'olam, this is just a Chinese auction, so really all of the problems go away. We don't have a Gezim Midivraim. Now again, this is assuming that the Gezim Midivraim is a penumbra of Asmachta. The Aruch HaShulchan and some others say, no, the Rambam held that there was no Asmachta here altogether. Right? and that the and the major. So what was the problem? The problem, according to the Rambam, was a gezel midivrayim that was based on some other notion of gezel that is sort of improper gains that are not necessarily based on asmachta. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that it's based on not being contributing b'shuvah shalom, so it only passes le'edus if you're not contributing b'shuvah shalom altogether, but even if you're not contributing b'shuvah shalom at that moment, the money that you're getting from that moment in time is considered gezel midivrayim, but it's not necessarily based on asmachta. However, again, if we're looking at it, you know, from the perspective of the way that we paskin, you know, Kemenag Ashkenazim, that we're makel, you know, all together, so certainly here, where there's a, it seems to satisfy the criteria of the Ramah, that you have a proper kinyan, and that we're not dealing with individuals, and not osik b'shuvah shalom, and it's for a mitzvah purpose, so you can also throw in addition to the Mordechai, that we can say that there's a higher degree of commitment on the part of those who are contributing their funds, that if they don't win, they want to give a donation to tzedakah. So that would be this combination of reasons, grounds to be maker when it comes to a Chinese auction, at least for a tzedakah organization, where people are buying, are spending money to buy, you know, the tickets which they put by different items, and then the tickets go into a lottery, and you pull the ticket, and whoever the ticket belongs to wins the item that's auctioned off. So there's room to be makel on that basis, particularly if the money goes straight to the tzedakah organization, so it was given over completely at the time in which the participants entered into the Chinese auction. But with respect to lotteries, so Rav Avadya Yosef points out that you can't so easily extend this to lotteries. He quotes a Yaskel Avi, Rav Avadya Hodaya, who extends this reasoning of the Ben Ish Chayim to lotteries. He says lotteries are not as simple at all, because there are a lot of distinctions when it comes to lotteries. Here, the individuals who participate, first of all, it's very often not what stuck, of course. You don't have the heads over the Mordechai. Secondly, the people are giving up their money with the expectation not of receiving a chafetz in return, but of the expectation of receiving money in return. And they're also not completely willingly giving over their money because of the fact that they expect to get their money back plus more money, and therefore the object that is being received is not a chafetz, it's the money of all these other people who gave over the money in a fashion which really might be in a smachta problematic fashion, particularly if you hold like the Rambam, that there would be at least a problem of gezel midivrayim. Therefore, he comes to the conclusion the lotteries would be problematic for sure. If you're a Sephardi and you paskin like the Rambam, you should not engage in a lottery. But he says the Ramah, if you paskin like the Ramah, like the Ashkenazim do, so then there's more of a basis to be makel when it comes to the lotteries. But here as well, I ask the question whether it's so clear that there's a proper kinyan that's been made, because he says that if one wanted to make the argument in according to the Rambam that the money's already been given over, it hasn't already been given over. It's been given over to those people who are entrusted to hold the lottery funds on behalf of the organization, the states, with, let's say it's a state-sponsored lottery, until a winner is determined. But if something would go wrong, they'd have to return the funds. So only like a swish. So only like a swish. So I don't know that. So he says that there wasn't really a full-fledged kinyan that took place. There wasn't a full-fledged kinyan that took place, so it's not pasha to me that this should necessarily be mutter, even according to the Ramah. And he himself says that even according to the Ramah, there may be, you know, room to be hesitant to rely upon entering into a lottery. And he also mentions that even according to the Ramah, there's the Shita of the Rivash, who says that even if strictly speaking entering into these types of lotteries is mutter, nonetheless, he uses very, very strong language, as we mentioned earlier, that even according to Rav Sheshis, he says, Mikomakum davim mechurim mitzuv meshukatsu, the rabin chalolim hipil batsumim kol harugav, that many people have been destroyed based on gambling. Rabbi Willig, who can correct me, I've been quoted in a shir that he gave. There's the Tosfos in Kulin, Daf Tzadi Alma Beis. It talks about when Yaakov met the Star of Shalesos. He said, in Ganavata Kubiustus, are you a Ganavar Kubiustus that you have to depart from me, you know, in the morning? So what's the idea that a Kubiustus would have to run away? So Tosfos says, a Kubiustus is somebody who's a Masakik Bikubi, and he has lots and lots of creditors, and he has to hide from his creditors. So this is the idea. So it's the same concept that it causes all kinds of terrible headaches and terror, and breaks up families and destroys people's lives. Rabatsri writes in his paper, he has a whole Musa Shmuz about this, to the end of the base of Dine Mamanus, it leads to suicide, it's to Abdus Mamish, people kill themselves over gambling debts, that there are all kinds kinds of other reasons that a person should not be ensnared, even when it comes to entering into a lottery. Now, there are those who are makeover. Moshe Sternbach has a tshuva in the Shuvah Sanhagos, in which he says, well, people who buy lottery tickets, first of all, it's a commodity, it's a davar mesuyam. Secondly, you have so many people who enter into it that it's not even in the realm of a potential asmachta, even if you're a Sephardi, he says, because this is so outside of anybody's biyado. He's assuming that that would be a consideration, even according to the Rambam. It's so outside anybody's biyado that for sure, anyone who enters into a lottery knows that they're giving the money away. But that, how could that be? If a person knew ahead of time, they wouldn't enter into the lottery altogether. It's one thing, maybe it's a sucker organization. And then he quotes others who say, well, if it's a government-sponsored thing, maybe it's like a King Instituta, that this is considered to be binding for everybody else in society. But then, you know, he ends up saying that the kula would mostly be in a case where the money is going for tzedakah. The Ashkenazi, Ravadi Odaya, went so far as to say that, oh, maybe there's room to be made, even if it's going like to the local government, because it's also going for good causes like Mosfos Ha'ir. But I think that's a bit of a stretch. The other interesting application of this that you find is there were takanos in a number of different cities about that said that people, you know, should stay away from gambling of any sort, even if it's not for money, and there would be exceptions made. What about the Hanukkah? So is that a proper exception, the playing of the dreidel? Supposedly the Chassam Sofer played dreidel as well. So a number of posts can talk about this. Nintei Gabriel handles this, I think, very nicely. He says, look, I mean, if there are dvarim nisgavim when it comes to playing dreidel, we're not necessarily going to ban it altogether, but it's proper to do it in such a way that nobody cares about the money. I would say, like, if parents have their children play dreidel, to have it not be their money altogether. Just it's the parents' money, and then at the end, you know, you tell everybody, you'll give the money to tzedakah. This is going to play a game, and all the money is going to go to tzedakah at the end. And he also said that you should put a limit on it. The dreidel game should not be more than a half an hour. You should have, like, a clock that goes off after a half an hour. That should be the end of the game. So you have, it should only be pennies, a tiny little amount, and it should be only a half an hour, and it should be that all the money is going to tzedakah. Should have all of these different built-in protections. It's very, I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's the chilek between post-rim for raffle tickets, kadoma, and somebody investing in a hedge fund?
That's what Moshe Sternberg said. Moshe Sternberg says that a ticket is like a commodity. You could sell it.
For the Ostrom on raffle.
The one on raffle is
the Ostrom. People will have to
the
buy
Ostrom,
raffle
yeah.
tickets.
Uh-huh.
And yet, presumably it would be not for investing in a hedge fund or shorting a stock.
So that's a question as well about when it comes to stocks. So that's the next thing. Mama, she took the words out of her mouth. So Aaron Levine has a very interesting chapter in his books. I think maybe he has in a couple of places, certainly in Economics and Jewish Law. He has a chapter about speculation and different types of financial instruments. And he says this idea of Einosik Yeshuva Shalom is the Chiddush, but it comes from a Halakha Tzaddik, so we should take it seriously. He says that it's not only a question that an individual is usher from engaging in gambling when he has no other vocation, no other profession. When it comes to choosing a business enterprise, he says, it's not proper to be involved in business enterprise which themselves do not contribute to Yeshuva Shalom. So therefore he has an analysis of different types of instruments. He shows why certain hedging instruments really do contribute to society, but then he's very dubious about future options, he's very dubious about puts and pulls, and these types of things, he says, do not necessarily contribute to society. They take away money from other gainful investments and only for the protection of the investor, and really do not. So he says that before a new financial instrument is introduced, it would have to meet a societal values test. And trading in financial instruments, which primarily serve speculators, may run afoul of halakha's disapprobation of gambling. That is necessary with respect to every single financial instrument to look very, very careful. Misad Yeshuva Shalom. So it's a similar things would apply with respect to somebody who wants to buy stock in a gambling enterprise, for example. So I would think that according to Rabbi Levine, that would be an improper investment, or somebody who's investing in something which is depending upon a gambling bet. You know, sometimes you have people in business and things come up. I had a Shaila last year because somebody who wanted to, he was given an opportunity to invest in something that depended on, you know, whether there would be a seventh game of the World Series or not, and you put in a certain amount of money, and then ends up happening, you get a lot more money, and it was only a little bit, so maybe it was worth investing. I said to me, I think that would run afoul of that way Aaron Levine's proscription. You would have to stay away from that.
What about, like, a Sam hedge fund manager? Would he talk to lasers?
Well, he says hedge funds. I think he says they're okay. He doesn't. He's talking about no.
Why is that in the master billion do? You're betting on a stock.
So like he talks about hedges, and he says sometimes hedges are productive for the market because they encourage further. He says it depends on the instrument. You have to take a look. He goes through all the different types of instruments. I can't. I don't have the proficiency, to be perfectly honest, to go through all the different financial instruments. But he goes through them. You take a look at that chapter. And in economics and Jewish law, he talks about speculation. The other thing that I wanted to mention with respect even to Chinese auctions, I don't think that any of these things are so pushy. Anything which has even the appearance of a game of chance or things of that sort, they also it seems should be subject to time and place restrictions. So the Tshuva by Rav Moshe in Chelek Dalet of Or HaChaim, where Rav Moshe, this is Siman Lamed Hey, Rav Moshe talks about the proper use of social halls and shuls. He's not talking about the shul itself. He's talking about social halls. And he says that Pashuk Shein Olav Shem Kedusha, even though there's no Kedusha there, Mutan Lasa Shem Davachol, Avalischak with clapping, card games, with bingo and bingo games, with the Dome, Av Shein Olav Zeh Issa Barim, Dron Mechuarim, Mechuar Malkam Shuv, Vegamon Kemoshev Leitzin. Dron Mechuarim, it's also Kemoshev Leitzin. So if you think about it, that what types of activities are really proper in social halls of shuls, and this story, you can have a bingo night, a lottery night, even if all the proceeds are going to tzedakah. Seem according to Moshe that it still is not really a proper thing. It doesn't send a proper message, especially in this day of the internet and the like, where people have so much easier access to gambling, and you're going to introduce them a little bit, and especially if you put a gespanka upon it, even from a tzedakah organization, there is a fear that it could lead to other things. I think that when we have a choice of whether we're going to be machmir or mekel about these issues, we probably should go more in the direction of the chumrah to avoid a lot of these problems. We find it also in the context of marriages, the whole discussion about if a husband is a compulsive gambler, does that permit the wife to divorce him, to insist upon a get? Machlokis between Maharam Wittenberg, who says yes, this is all discussed. We also a post given Simon Ayin Zai in a Sif Bay Sif Kutin Yadal. There's a whole discussion of this between the Rami Rotenberg and Matisyahu Kino, quoted by the in the Ghost Mordechai in Suva Simon Kupay Bav. The Maharshal, the Paskins, that like the Marami Rutenberg, that it would be grounds for divorce, it would be grounds for a wife to have the right to insist upon a get in those situations. And you see that terrible cases where a husband becomes dysfunctional, he can't do anything, he's not even Osek Yeshiva Shalom anymore. You become a compulsive gambler, like a little bit of gambling when a person still Osek Yeshiva Shalom could lead very possibly to a situation where a person is no longer Osek Yeshiva Shalom. And when you're dealing with things like horse racing or betting on games, I'm sorry, Marmy with the book. And when you're talking about horse racing or betting pools and things like that, I think even according to the Ramah it becomes more problematic because of the fact that there you can argue it's much less a game of chance. It's a question of like really becoming proficient about the teams, the horses, you know, where there is much more of a sense where it's biyado or biyado veino biyado, you know, a little bit biyado, which is the most problematic category. Other reasons that it would seem that those things should very possibly be Yasser Medina. So I'll just conclude with something from the Parsha. We start off in Parsha's Kitisa. Kitisa Sosh Vnei Solof Kudayem Nasnu Yishkof and Nashul Hashem Yiv Kodosam Lo Yev Vahem Negev Yiv Kodosam. That what's the type of contribution that really is appropriate according to the Torah? And the person gives, yeah, everybody gives a little bit, but you're not giving it to Lotto. It's not, hey, you never know. It's, yes, you do know. You know that those activities are not proper. The proper activities, Torah is the best disclosure. But you give your money, you give your machatzis ha-shekel, the Torah, mitzvot, you give it to the base masters, you give it to the base hamikdash. So then you know, below you have negative kodosam. Then you know you have the best guaranteed result, that you spend your money on stock, on chesed, on tuition for the children and for good causes, so then you can't go wrong. Okay. Wow.